Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on this Friday for a little mailbag action. The day has finally come. We have our listener mailbag questions that we are answering and talking through today. We'll go through a lot of the questions are what we saw this season, but some fun hypotheticals in there as well. And then we'll finish up the episode with some cuts from our locker room show this past Sunday, our live locker room show. Got some questions on there, so we'll finish the show with some cuts from that, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to dive right into the questions here today and just answer them. And we're going to do these weekly, so if you listen to this and you decide, hey, I got a question, fire it away at Locked On Stars on Twitter. You just tweet it at me. If you get a like, that means I saw it, and I'll be answering that on the show. We're planning to do these every Friday, so if you have a question that pops up between now and next Friday, you want to ask it, just tweet it at me, and you'll hear it on the next show. We got a few questions today. I think we're going to have enough to kind of do a full mailbag, kind of a full mailbag show. So we'll dive right into them. We're going to start with, we got a really good one from Sean Woodley, from Locked On Raptors, who is, also, overseas. He's the channel manager for Locked On NHL Pods. So, he fired a fun question at us. We'll get to his, but we'll kind of start with some of the ones that are more pertinent, to the current Dallas Stars situation. Dive right into that. Before we do the locker room, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me on Sunday, 4 o'clock, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. All right, let's go ahead and dive in right to these questions. We got four questions really to get to, and a couple of those are meaty questions, so we'll talk through all of them on today's episode. We're going to start with Tex Critter on Twitter, at Cubs Madonna. So guessing he's a Cubs fan and a Mike Madonna fan. But he said, for the mailbag, which of the taxi squad guys is most likely to see a full-time role next season, and what does an ideal top four defenseman look like to pair with our current top three? So kind of a two-parter. We'll get to both of those. Let's start with the taxi squad guys. Obviously, this year was kind of an interesting year with the taxi squad setup. Guys that could kind of come back and forth between the Stars roster, travel with the team, practice with the team, and kind of go back and forth, and just added depth and what was a crowded schedule. Interesting kind of setup there. And, which one of those guys do we think is going to be the, first in line to kind of get a full-time role with the team next season? Right off the bat, I think it's got to be Ty DeLandry. He spent a decent amount of time on the taxi squad this year, and I don't know if when you asked this question if you categorized him as a taxi squad guy, but he did spend quite a bit of time on the taxi squad this season, moving back and forth. I think of the guys, Nick Camanos, the Tanner Caros, Justin Dowlings, those kind of guys. Joel Esperanza is in there as well. I think Rhett Gardner. Taylor Fadun, there's actually quite a bit of guys. I think it's Ty DeLandry. He finished the season actually in the minors, didn't finish the season on the taxi squad, but I think he's the one that makes the most sense. First and foremost, obviously he's one of the Dallas Stars' top prospects. Top three or four young players, if you include Amir Haskin in there. You obviously got Harley and Ottinger and Robertson. And Haskinen, and then DeLandry's in there, Maverick Bork, those kind of guys. So, he's one of the more talented players that the Stars have in the system. He got his first real taste of consistent NHL action this season. At times, and we'll get to, we haven't gotten to him on the player review pods, but at times looked a little overmatched, a little slow, like he was still trying to catch up to the speed of the game. That being said, I think there's still quite a bit of upside there when you're talking about DeLandry. Obviously still a very, very young guy, a lot of leadership traits. We talked extensively in the past about how, he was a leader on that Flint Firebirds team in the OHL, puts up a ton of points as well. He'll turn 21 in July, late July. He'll turn 21. So still incredibly young. Not a, not necessarily an elite scorer, even though he put up some absurd numbers in the OHL. Not an elite scorer, but he really has a lot of upside as a two-way kind of guy. I think he's gritty. I think he plays, you know, he plays aggressive and you know, he's willing to do some of the dirty things, dirty work kind of things for the Stars. So I think he's probably got the best shot, because you look at the guys who are leaving this offseason, likely to leave. We've talked about it, Blake Como, Andrew Cogliano. I think they're probably both gone. Maybe one of them comes back on a one-year deal if the number's right, but I think there's a good chance they're both gone. So I think you're looking for guys that you can pair next to Radek Faxa on kind of that checking line. And Dellandrea, for me, makes a little bit of sense. You know, can play out on the, you know, he's a center, but he can play out on the wing as well. You know, adds a little bit more offensive ability, I think, to that line than maybe a Como or a Cogliano does. So I think there's some benefit there. But I think you look at, you know, a full, you know, full off season, normal off season, so to speak. I think that there's a good chance that really helps him kind of catch up and get up to speed when it comes to the NHL's, you know, pace and everything like that. So I would think that it's going to be Dellandrea. He's the guy I land on. I think Caro maybe could be in that mix, but I wasn't overly impressed. You know, he impressed early, but overall I wasn't stunned by him. I think Dowling probably is you know, not really in the mix either. Camano, you know, Gardner, will those guys get some opportunities? Sure, you know, but to be a full-time player, I would think it's Dellandrea. Now, if your question was just about who's on the taxi squad right now, technically, you know, that's Camano, Fadun, Les Bronson, and Bo. I really could not tell you. You know, Fadun's a UFA. I think there's a good chance he's gone. Bo's a UFA. Camano's an RFA. I think he's probably back, but I don't really know. You know, those four are technically the ones on the taxi squad right now. But, you know, guys who spent significant time on it across the year, I think Dellandrea probably is the natural fit to get extended run in the NHL. I think with a good offseason and the right fit, which I would be really intrigued to see him on kind of a checking line with you know, that you're trying to get a little bit more offensive upside with, I think he would be an intriguing fit in that sort of situation. So I would have to roll with him. The second part of that question, what does an ideal top four defenseman look like to pair with our current top three? Obviously, Miro Heiskanen, Esa Lindell, John Klingberg, those three all should be back next year. So what is an ideal fourth defenseman to add to that group look like? I think you're comfortable with the Klingberg and Lindell pairing next year. I think those two feed well off of each other. You know, somebody that goes well next to Heiskanen. I think that, you know, we saw Oleksiak, and we saw at times that he was, you know, he and Heiskanen seemed to really kind of mesh off of each other, because, you know, when Oleksiak started trying to be a little bit more of an offensive, you know, player, kind of a two-way defenseman, so to speak, I think there was some benefit there, but I don't know that it's been wholly up a seamless fit. So when I'm looking for somebody to go next to Miro Heiskanen, which is who you're trying to fit, I think there's two ways to go about it. You look for somebody who has a similar style to him, two-way guy, defends well, can create a little bit as well, good skater, that you can kind of get a little chemistry going with, and those guys can feed off of each other. If one pushes up, you know, one drops back and plays a little more conservative. If the other one does, the other one gets a little aggressive, the other one gets more conservative. I think that's one way to go about it. The other kind of school of thought is what unlocks Miro Heiskanen the most. And I think if that's the case, I think you're looking for a physical defenseman that skates well and is defensively sound. It is as defensively sound as they come. Jamie Oleksiak is big and physical and is a pretty decent skater for his size, but I don't know that he's quite as locked in defensively as you would maybe want if you're looking for somebody to just maximize what Heiskanen can do. And that would be the question. Are you looking for somebody that basically can go in and you can tell Heiskanen, do whatever you want, do what you want to do, you know, go be elite, I've got you covered kind of player? I think that's maybe a route to go as well. Somebody who's physical, I think, is. And that's why I think Oleksiak makes some sense. You just need to see a little bit more from him, because I think you like the physicality of him next to Heiskanen. I think you like the size. I think you like his ability to kind of play a different kind of game, but also feed off Heiskanen. It's just a matter of, do you think that he can do that consistently enough, or do you go look for maybe somebody who's a little, you know, tick higher caliber-wise to fill that similar void? So I think there's two ways to go about it, to make it short. I think you go ultra defenseman, who is just, I got this covered, Heiskanen, go be great. or a guy who's similar traits, no, not quite the quality, but similar traits that he and Hastings can kind of feed off each other. And when one's aggressive, one's conservative. And when that one's aggressive, the other one's conservative. So I think there's two routes to go. I think that fourth defenseman spot will be a storyline to follow this offseason, whether it's Alexiak, whether it's somebody else. I think they've got to find somebody to really get Hastings moving towards, you know, what his potential and what his ceiling is. So let's step aside real quick. When we come back, we got a couple more questions to answer. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up with clips from our locker room session on Sunday. Before we do, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I love Built Bar. They've got 9 great flavors. They cycle in occasional limited time flavors as well. Some around the holidays, they had some like candy cane flavored ones. They've got, you know, all these bars are just taste great. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew. And here's a little secret. They're good for you. If you're trying to indulge, get a Built Bar. You want to indulge, but you don't want to feel guilty? I think this is the route to go. They're covered 100% chocolate, but they're you know, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You know, most of these are under 100, you know, 130, 150 calories. Most of them have 15 plus grams of protein, and you know, we're talking about like 5 grams of net sugar, 5 grams of net carbs in most of these bars. So go try these Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code locked 15 and get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Promo code locked 15, 15% off at builtbar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, continuing our mailbag episode. First block, we talked a little bit about which taxi squad player could be a full-time player for the Stars. Also talked about an ideal partner for Miro Heiskanen, defensive pairing partner for Miro Heiskanen. Now we're going to jump and talk a little bit about Anton Hudobin. This is Davis Dunkelberger at SoonerFan432 on Twitter. He asks, best possible deal for Dobby, in your opinion? When you're talking about an Anton Hudobin trade, which I've talked about a lot, and I said I think is going to happen this offseason, you have to look at it through a couple of lenses. One, the Stars could actually try to get a player back that could, you know, fill a current void on this team. If you're going that route, you're probably trading for a player that's in a similar kind of caliber to Anton Hudobin. That means you're probably talking for a guy who's a little bit older, got a couple years left on his deal, probably, you know, at money that is deemed, you know, not useful for the team that he's got. You know, you look at Anton Hudobin, he's got 2 years left at $3.33 million. He's 35, obviously was not amazing this year. You know, there's still some ability, to get back to closer to where he was. But, you know, from a Stars perspective, $3.33 million for a backup, potentially third goaltender at 35 years old is not really a conducive kind of fit. So you're probably looking for a player in that similar sort of boat that would from another team that needs a goalie, needs another goaltender. Probably team that's looking for like a 1B, you know, kind of scenario, maybe a very good 2. That's got a little money, and you're basically going to swap salaries, essentially, and the Stars would get back a player of similar ilk that probably fills a void, maybe a defenseman, you know, to go alongside Heiskanen, or third pairing defenseman, or maybe a forward, maybe a checking line kind of forward, a checking forward. The other route to go is the draft pick route, and that is the one where the Stars are basically just going to try to get off of Anton Hudobin's money, essentially. Try to find a way where they can, you know, they can free up that nearly $3.5 million each year over the next 2 seasons. From a Stars perspective, I think that's probably the more realistic, because I think if you're Dallas, I think you would rather have that money available, because we've talked about the guys that are going to be looking for potential extensions this offseason. Klingberg, Heiskanen, you know, Hintz isn't too far away. Gurianov's not too far away from needing to get paid again. You look at those kind of guys, and I think you look at that $3.5 million and say, we'd rather have a say, really, on, you know, how that money's going to get spent. If you go that route, you're probably not getting a super high draft pick. I would expect kind of probably a mid-round kind of pick, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a mid-round and a late round, or a mid-round and a kind of, you know, minor prospect. I wouldn't expect a ton back from Anton Hudobin, because teams know that the Stars have to move somebody, right? They got to move Hudobin or Bishop. They're not going to move Ottinger. So the Stars are going to lose a little bit of their negotiating power right there, you know, with the fact that teams are know where they're going to stand. And I don't think, you know, maybe at the beginning of the season, if they were in this situation coming off the postseason, yeah, there's probably a little bit of a bidding war. for Anthony Dobin. I don't know that that's the case this time around. You look at guys that are going to be exposed to the expansion draft. You know, it's not inconceivable that Seattle could take two of those guys and feel like they've got a better 1-2 punch than if they went and got Anthony Dobin and one of those guys. It's not inconceivable, you know, that some of these other teams won't look for a cheaper, younger option to be their number two. Your only marketable kind of, you know, teams that would be interested are teams that are you know, a piece away from contending, right? You know, these younger teams that are on the outside looking in aren't going to be all that interested in acquiring a 35-year-old goalie with, you know, that's owed $6.75 million over the next two seasons. That's just, you know, not realistic. So that's kind of the thought on Anthony Dobin. Got a couple more questions to get to here in this one. You know, wrapping it up though, I think it's probably gonna be the draft pick route and probably something in the mid rounds. You know, not anything that's gonna be wow you in terms of getting a deal done. Joe Walton at Joe Walton 9090 says, any chance Dallas adds a scoring winger? I think there absolutely is an opportunity for Dallas to go try to add a winger who can produce points for the team. I think that's an area of need for this Stars team. I think if you look at it, how it's constructed, you know, we've talked about it a lot, you know, this week as we've done kind of these individual player breakdowns and look towards next year. The Stars' top six are pretty much nailed down, right? It's going to be some combination of Roope Hintz, Jason Robertson, Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and Alexander Radulov with you know, Denis Gurianov maybe getting in there. But let's say just for this exercise, those six are in there. Then you look at the guys that are kind of left, Faxa, Kiviranta, Gurianov, going to be in the lineup in some form or fashion. So there's really three spots that are left to be filled. I think Dellandrea gets one of those spots. Maybe one of these other guys, a Caro, a Camano, something like that, gets one of those spots. But I think something that the Stars need, and it's been their, you know, their quest that they have never been able to kind of get past, is to find a winger who can produce, who can score. Now, I don't think they're going to go shopping at the top end of the market. They don't have the money to do that. And you know, we know that their cap space is fairly limited. But you know, some of these you know, kind of, you know, veterans that maybe, you know, won't command quite as much in terms of salary, and maybe somebody who's willing to take a 1 or 2 year deal on a short term money. I think the Stars would be very interested in bringing one of those guys back, and the reason why is I think it's got to be something short term, right? Because you look, Haskins going to get an extension, Klingberg is going to be up for an extension, Gurianov is going to be up for an extension after next season, Roope Hintz is up for an extension after that. You've got Jason Robertson, you've still got to pay, you know, here in the next couple of years. Robertson, just to verify, yeah, Robertson's an RFA after next season. So you know, you look at these guys, and over the next 2 or 3 years, you're gonna have to pay a lot of your top end talent. So you want to make sure that money's available, because you're not getting off Tyler Seguin's contract, you're not getting off Jamie Benn's contract. You'll get off Radulov's, you get off Pavelski's, and potentially Klingberg's, but you're still gonna have some money tied up. I think that, you know, when you look at the contract, we talked about the 1 year window that this year kind of closes this 1 year is gonna close that window for the Stars. You know, beyond that, I think you got to look at it. You know, how are they going to, you know, when the money runs out, they want to make sure they've got the money kind of hitting at the right time, money freeing up at the right time. I think that's why they're going to look at short-term deals. 1 year deals, 2 year deals are kind of where I'm thinking they're going to live. I don't see them making, you know, a move to bring in somebody long-term, unless it's somebody they've already got in-house that they signed to an extension, just because I think they want that money to be free in the next offseason or two to start, you know, handing out extensions to some of these really, really key players. But I do think a winger that can bring some scoring ability, especially, you know, they could skate bottom six kind of minutes and still produce, almost in the mold of like a Kiviranta. Somebody I think Kiviranta can be a point producer. I think somebody in that kind of mold would be definitely on the table for Dallas this offseason. You know, that'll be something to kind of talk about as we get closer to free agency, kind of go into some names. I can't say that I've sat here and researched, you know, names and who would be the best fits, but I think that's something we'll definitely talk about, because I think it's certainly something Dallas is going to need to add. I think that's a need for them this offseason. Let's step aside one more time. We come back. We'll answer Sean's question. It was a really, really fun question, and then we'll jump in. I'll send you to our locker room snippet. We're going to have a little bit of locker room talk from our Sunday Live locker room. Just a couple questions from there. But before we do, Bet Online's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. Before next pitch, head to Bet Online on your laptop laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device today, receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. All right, we're wrapping up this episode into our final block, and we've got one more question from Twitter before we send it over to the locker room segment that we're going to wrap up with that we did on Sunday. And this question came from Sean Woodley, who is the host of Locked On Rappers, Locked On Raptors, and also is the channel manager for Locked On NHL and Locked On MLB pods. And he sent this today. You can choose one non-star player from the 99 Cup team to enter a time machine and join the current Stars lineup. Who do you choose? So first and foremost, you have to go through that team and determine what do you consider a star player. Who's a star player on that team? Who do we eliminate? And I did some research, and I freely admit I talked to Josh, obviously Josh Clark, a big friend of the pod, former co-host of mine. Talked to him about his thoughts and where he thought things should go and thought who should be considered. So you go through, and the first thing during this exercise, you realize how loaded this team was. I mean, guys that are eliminated that I considered in the star realm, and this is probably not even everybody, but guys that I considered in the star realm: Ed Belfour, Darian Hatcher, Brett Hull, Yuri Lehtinen, who else is on it? Madonna, obviously, Neuendijk, Sidor, and Zubov, right? Those guys were all, I all eliminated them, did not consider them. Zubov, so Zubov, Sidor, Neuendijk, Madonna, Lehtinen, Hull, Hatcher, and Belfour, all out. So not considering any of those guys. So it really came down to, and it kind of ties into the question we had earlier today about adding a scoring winger. This kind of falls under that because I looked at this and I kind of zeroed in on some guys that I thought would be helpful in helping to produce points for these teams. And of that group, seven of the ones that I just eliminated I eliminated nine players. Seven of those nine were probably six of those nine. Six of those guys. So Madonna, Hull, Neuendijk, Lehtinen, Zubov, Sidor were the top six scorers on this Dallas Stars team. Then you got obviously Darian Hatcher, the captain. You've got obviously the goaltender Ed Belfour in there as well. So the one I zeroed in on and looked at, and I would love to drop him in a time machine and add him to this team. And I think, you know, there was some debate. Josh threw out Mike Keane as an option. I considered him. I didn't think that anybody defensively really, the exercise, like I said, really taught us, or told me, you know, how it reminded me how loaded this team was. But the one I settled it on, you probably have already figured it out, is Jamie Langenbrunner. He's the one that I think I would pop in a time machine. And I have to say, Sean gave me leeway. He didn't say who was a star player. He just said a non-star player. Langenbrunner's who I zoomed in on. He, to me, would be, obviously, he was fairly young at that time, 23, I believe, during that 99 season. Obviously, had a very, very good career. But that year, 45 points in 75 games. He was a plus 10. He had 12 goals, 33 assists. Skated almost 16 minutes a night. Was effective offensively, but was not ineffective defensively either. Had some two-way ability about him. I think that's who I would pick up and drop in on this current Dallas Stars team. You look at where they need, you know, fits. If we talked about the top six is taken care of. We gave three more, so there's three-ish, maybe two spots still available that you would and talk about adding some power to that lineup, you know, some ability to that lineup. Langenbrunner would instantly be an upgrade on pretty much anybody that wasn't a top line forward this year in terms of points. He would pretty much be in that conversation as a top six producer on this team. I would drop him in. I think he fills a winger that can produce. He could play center as well. So versatile, but produced at a pretty nice clip, and was only 23. So if we're talking long term, you know, was a young guy that they could also build around too. So that was the answer to that one. If you hear this, you listen to this, I want to hear what y'all's answers were. Tweet them at me at Locked On Stars, and I'll clip them and show them to Sean and see what y'all think, what they think. But that's gonna do it for this. The mailbag part of the episode. We'll end this one. I'm going to send you over to our locker room segment wrap up. We had a couple of good questions from there, so we'll wrap up with a clip from that. Make sure to join us Sunday on Locker Room. We do it live. You can ask questions live. I'll answer them right then and there. And then, of course, the past couple of times we've added them into the weekly show. So there's a good chance if you're in that locker room, you're going to get to hear yourself later in the week on our normal show. But that's good enough for this one. If you need something else to go listen to, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. Today is Nikola Jokic enough for the Nuggets? Get more of the sports news you need in less than 9 with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. That's good all for this one, though. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with one final episode this week, and then we'll have a Memorial Day episode, and that will close out our month of May. We're still in the swing of off-season stuff, so make sure to stick around and stay tuned. But have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
This is a Locker Room production.
We've talked about it before, but just there's getting ready to be a transition to the younger core of like the Harleys, the Robertsons, the Hints, that era, Delandria coming up too. And I guess I'm just kind of ready to see some of that and at least see how that core can help in the old cores, or at least the current cores, last chance at a title. So
yeah, it's defenseman is probably where I think we're going to see the most turnover this year, just because I think Harley's in the mix. I think they're going to be chasing a UFA, even, you know, Alexiak included. So I think that's where we're going to see the most movement this offseason. And you hit the nail. We've talked about it a couple times, right? The need to figure out how you're going to approach this year. Are you going to go into this year hoping that you can make one final run? Are you going to sell out to do that? So does that mean you're going to make some moves to try to get some cap space to get, you know, an impact player in? You know, are you really, really selling out, or are you going to just hopefully, you know, are you going to kind of sit back and hope that, hey, what we have here is good enough to make another run? We just need to get fully healthy. While I think that I think what they have is a playoff team, and I think they could make one more run into the playoffs. I'm concerned. I don't think they're deep enough. I don't think getting everybody healthy is going to be enough to get them where they want to be one final time. So I want to see what moves they make in terms of trying to free up some cap space. And I think they need one more, you know, guy who can just be, even if it's semi impactful. They're not going to be able to get a top line guy. They just don't have the resources and the money to do that. And, you know, if it is a 1 year window, you don't want to gamble on that necessarily, but I think they do need one more guy. Justin said, when was the last time Dallas was deemed as a cemented top 10 consistent in the league? Have we hit the ceiling with the nil era? Is it time to move on from nil? Justin, that the nil discussion is one that I think we were all anticipating having this year after last year. You know, you went to the Stanley Cup. I think if they don't make the Stanley Cup final last year, I think you're having that discussion last year. If they bomb out of the playoffs, I think you're having the discussion last year. They make the Stanley Cup final, that definitely bought him another year. You don't fire your GM after you make the Stanley Cup final. I think this year, if things go poorly this year, it's talking about 2021-22, I guess next season. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know that making the playoffs is enough. I'll say this. I think they're going to need to be more than making the playoffs next year to certainly say that Jim Nill's era is going to be continued. I think he's been around for a long, long time. And they just haven't had, it's not just that they haven't had, they've had some nice successes, but they haven't had the sustained, consistent success. They're not a perennial playoff team. You know, they weren't making the playoffs every single year under Jim Nill. They've cycled through a lot of coaches. He's gotten a lot more coaches, tries at different coaches than a lot of GMs do in the modern day. And so he definitely is going to get next year, just because after making the Stanley Cup final, and then you're losing, you know, you lose Sagan all year, pretty much all year. You lose Bishop all year. You lose Radulov for most of the year. You have all the, you have the COVID impact, the ice storm and DFW impact. You have all those different things pop up. I don't think you're necessarily going to, you don't fire your GM after that. That being said, if they make, if they miss the playoffs, I think he is probably gone. And I'm not sure that making the playoffs is enough for him to keep around. I think this era that, that Davis mentioned, that we've talked about here on Locker Room and on the Daily Show, the era and the current iteration of the team, that the window closes at the end of next year, I think Jim Neal has got to work his way into being part of the next era of the team, so to speak. I think that whole front office, he's got to do something to show that they're going to be, you can task them with another rebuild, because I don't think they've necessarily earned it. I mean, Stanley Cup final aside, have they really done so much that you don't think that there's a better option out there? I mean, he's drafted well. I think that's something he's going to rely on. The recent drafts have started to hit really, really well. So he's got some of that to lean on. But, you know, you look at these contracts that they're tied down to, the Benn, the Sagan, you know, even the Bishop, even the Klingberg's going to be coming up for a deal here soon. And so you start to look at it and go, were these good moves? Were they bad moves? There's so many variables. But I guess you guys say he's on the hot seat. I think he is this offseason, or going into next year. I think if the ship is not righted and there's not a clear cut plan as to how to become a perennial contender, then I think the Stars will look elsewhere in terms of front office leadership. But that's a good question. That's something we'll talk about a lot this offseason, is kind of the future for everybody, players, coaches, front office staff. I think it's all going to be up for evaluation during the 2021-22 season.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.